Nefer called his council to assemble in the Old City Forum and made a full report to them. He described in detail the lifting of the bullion out of the treasure carts, and they listened agog. Then he presented Merikara to them and related how she'd been rescued from under the very noses of Trok and Naja. They shouted, "Bakher!" and stood to applaud him. Then Nefer sent for the scribes, and they weighed the gold bullion in front of the members of the council. The final tally was well over half a lakh. "My lords, this is only the fifth part of what we've won. Hilto will take a convoy of wagons back to retrieve the rest. He'll leave tomorrow, but he'll need men to go with him." It seemed that every able-bodied man in Galala was desperate to volunteer. But when Shabarko and the most tried and experienced of his warriors were passed over, they protested bitterly. "Will Pharaoh ever sit here in Galala dreaming at the hearth like old women?" Shabarko asked. Nefer smiled. "I'll have sterner work for you. But now the sun's well set and a victory feast is prepared for us. We'll meet again soon in War Council. I give you my oath on it," he assured them, and adjourned the assembly. They went away grumbling, but their mood revived as the first jars of freshly brewed beer had been disposed of. Nefer had ordered the slaughter of 2 bullocks and 12 fat sheep, and the women had spent every minute since his return preparing a celebratory feast. Every man and woman in the city was invited, and even the garrisons of hilltop forts and watchtowers were sent their share. Like the digging of the fountain, the winning of the gold was an achievement that had knit the community closer. Taita had composed a heroic poem to honour the occasion, and like all his creative efforts, it was an instant overwhelming success. They had not let him sit down when he'd finished, but yelled and banged their bowls on the board until he repeated all 60 verses. By then they'd memorized the entire epic, and the musicians had extemporized a musical score. The entire company joined with gusto in the third and final rendition. Then Nefer called upon any citizen who felt an oratorical urge to stand and speak out. Some of the speeches were incoherent but well received. Others were hilarious or so poignant that most of the women and many men were reduced to tears. In this emotional atmosphere, Merikara leant across Mintaka to speak to her brother. The din around them was so great that she had to raise her voice to be heard. "Royal and divine brother," she teased him, for she had also sampled the contents of the beer pots, "I have a boon to ask of you." "Little sister, who's little no more, ask what you wish, and if it is in my power, you shall have it." "It's very much in your power." She broke off, looked down the table at Merin, caught his avid eye, lowered her gaze, and blushed an appealing shade of pink. "You know that as a child I was married without my consent and against my will. That marriage was never consummated. I want you to proclaim my divorce from Naja. I want you to set me free so that I can go to a husband of my own choice. This would be the most precious gift you could ever give me."
"Is that possible?" Nefer sobered at once and looked at Taita. "Do I have it in my power to divorce a husband and wife in the sight of the gods?"
"You are a pharaoh," Merikara cut in before Taita could reply. "Just as Trok divorced Mintaka, so you're able to divorce me from Naja."
"Trok divorced Mintaka?" Nefer demanded so sharply that all those within hearing fell silent.
"Did you not know?"
Merikara asked.
"Forgive me for breaking it to you in such a tactless, thoughtless fashion. I thought that such momentous news would have reached even here."
Nefer took Mintaka's hand and shook his head, too overcome with emotion to speak. Merikara went on blithely.
"Oh, yes, on his own sacred holy day, in his own new temple, Pharaoh Trok sacrificed a ram and proclaimed 3 times, 'I divorce her.'"
Merikara clapped her hands.
And poof, the dread deed was done.
Nefa drew Mintaka a little closer to him and looked at Taita. The old man knew the law better than any temple scribe in Egypt, and now, in answer to Nefa's silent inquiry, he nodded solemnly. Merikara was rattling on.
Of course, immediately after the divorce, he sacrificed another ram and passed sentence of death upon Mintaka for adultery and sacrifice in dishonouring a god.
Nefa turned his head and stared deeply into Mintaka's eyes. She stared back as they considered the implication of Merikara's revelations. Slowly a strange expression spread over Nefa's face, like that of a condemned man hearing of his reprieve.
"You are free, my one true love," he said. "And your freedom has set me free."